I'm all about the hustle, I'm all about the grind. Every day I'm trying to get it, take it one step back.
Hey, Carl Brizzy here with Carl Brizzy Live. Thanks for tuning in. Rob Kendall here with me, my producer. Good to see you again.
Carl, it's good to have you back.
I took a little time off. I am back. What's going on with Facebook? They're getting grilled on Capitol Hill and in other places for harvesting, I guess, information from their users. And your position on that is tough luck.
Yeah. I mean, like, to me, I mean, I've been a Facebook user since 2005. And I guess it was in my early 20s then.
Right.
I just assumed that they were monitoring what I was saying. And why is this a surprise to anyone?
Well, right. I mean, everything you do on the internet is being monitored, right? I mean, you click on one thing, let's say like a backpack for REI, and the next thing I know, I've got, you know, 20 advertising emails for Osprey or,
right,
you know, whatever, North Face. So that's certainly one point. The other position, which I find ironic, is that, you know, CNN and some of these other news organizations are also blasting Facebook because of the proliferation of what they're describing as fake news.
On the internet?
On the internet. Fake news on the internet coming from places like CNN and MSNBC, who I think have really gone out of their way in terms of destroying the public's trust and the public's confidence in anything that comes out of those organizations.
Isn't this just where we're at now, Carl, in 2018, where we always need a cause du jour, right?
Yes. Oh, my gosh. That's such a great segue to what I want to talk about in the next segment, but go ahead.
Yeah, we always need something to be offended by, someone to be a villain, someone to blame for the lives we're leading. I mean, Facebook, to me, I talked about this on my Sunday show on WIBC, I think last week. I said Facebook has been so good to me. I mean, I used it really well when I won my town council race.
Right.
And then the reason I got to interview Trump was the Trump people became aware of me through the stuff I was doing on Facebook.
Okay, so two things there. One is that I'm assuming you didn't have, you know, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars for your political campaign.
Right, that's correct.
Right, so you had
about $8.
$8 and some change for your political campaign. And so you used social media as a platform to get your message out so that people could access what you were saying.
Yeah, and you can contact people directly. Hey, early voting started. Have you voted? Okay, boom, you cross them off. Or, hey, where do I vote? Boom, you vote here. Make sure on election day, this is where you go. I mean, without Facebook, that would have cost me a ton of money and I probably couldn't have done it.
Yeah, it totally opens up the, you know, especially in politics and in other areas, allows people access that they might not ordinarily have. Plus, I'll tell you what else I really like about it is, and the reason why I think network TV is suffering and will continue to suffer until it eventually goes out of business, is that no one needs journalists, no one needs reporters to tell them what elected officials are saying.
Right.
Right? Like, I don't need, you know, whoever, Mika Brzezinski, let's just say, to tell me what I'm hearing, right? To interpret what is being said for me and then putting their spin on it so that I can digest what the reporter is hearing, not actually what the elected official is saying.
Yeah, and so to me it's like, okay, you give me this platform for free.
Right.
It costs me nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And the trade-off is you might be looking at some messages I send people and, oh, you're going to target advertising towards me. Well, I'm using your platform. So why wouldn't I think that you'd be trying to monetize something? Mark Zuckerberg is not in the business of donating his life to other people, you know? I mean, it floors me that people are up in arms over this when they use it for self-benefit.
When who uses it for self-benefit?
People.
Oh, you mean the users?
People, candidates, businesses. I mean, it's no different than, I guess I look at it like, you know, remember the phone book?
Right.
Remember, do they still do the phone book? Is that a thing?
Yeah, it is.
There's ads all over the phone book.
Right.
That's targeted. Who uses the phone book? There's ads all over the radio. People use the radio. I mean, it's all targeted stuff.
Yeah, we're never going to get away from that. And to think that the government is going to regulate, well, first of all, you don't want the government in there regulating that kind of communication. I mean, that in and of itself is scary. And here's the bottom line with this whole thing, and here's where I wanted to go until we pivot for the next segment, which was your point, which is we want to just have someone to blame. We want to blame the Facebook. We want to blame the internet. We want to blame guns. We want to blame the NRA. We want to blame violent video games. Well, I want to talk about that in the next segment. But what we're talking about here is that the journalists themselves, the mainstream media, it really more so on the left, but some on the right as well, they cannot hide their agendas, right? I mean, they are just so ideologically driven, and there is no objectivity anymore.
Isn't this all about that Trump won?
Well, it's partly about that, I think.
Because they did the same stuff under Obama, and not a peep. Nothing. Facebook hasn't really changed anything that they're doing. They did the same stuff under Obama basically for 8 years.
Well, they covered up for Obama. I mean, there were so many things that occurred in the Obama administration that were just downright crimes. I mean, you know, we've talked about this, you and I, before. Lois Lerner and the IRS. I mean, terrorism funding. I mean, there are all sorts of things that went on that were just not deemed newsworthy by the mainstream media. And quite frankly, it's time for them to own up that they haven't been doing their job. Because their job, well, at least the job that we think they're supposed to be doing, which is objective reporting and not pushing this leftist progressive agenda.
Let me ask you this, because I'm curious, because you are a man of the law, as I like to describe you.
Right.
This company that was affiliated with the Trump campaign that somehow got the data, basically, the way I'm simplifying this, but Facebook basically left the door open for them to get this data. Is this a crime? Because if you walk into somebody's house and take their stuff, you can't use the defense, well, they left the door open for me to take their stuff. That's right. Still a crime.
Right.
But I don't think anything illegal happened here because Facebook made it them have the ability to do it. So how do you feel about that? Are we in a new territory?
Well, what do they do with the information? I mean, isn't that the question?
Yeah, I mean, basically they use it the same way Facebook does to target people. Instead of for advertising, this is to get people to vote.
Well, I receive unsolicited emails every day. And then, you know, I probably spend 20 minutes a day unsubscribing to things that I haven't subscribed to. And then sometimes I'm taken off that list. Sometimes I'm not. Sometimes I get emails from these life insurance companies, I guess because I turned 50 or something. Now they're sending me these life insurance things where there is no unsubscribe button.
Right.
So how does that work? I mean, isn't that required?
Hey, speaking of unsubscribe button, I really wanted to ask you this real quick.
You're listening to Carl Brizzi Live.
Not to branch off, but did you do the emails when you ran for public office?
Oh, yeah.
Did you have an unsubscribe button on your things?
I'm sure we did.
Because, like, a lot of these politicians now don't have the unsubscribe button, and that's really annoying. Like, I don't ask to be on your email list, and I get that I'm on your email list, but you should at least give me the option to say, I don't want your stuff anymore.
Well, even more than that, it's really annoying when you get emails from politicians that don't even have your name right.
Right. And in your case, it's the campaign you volunteer for.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that I get emails with the wrong names on them. So I do think, Rob, that this whole, like, it's completely disingenuous for these mainstream news media outlets to start calling foul on Facebook for fake news when we're inundated with what we can objectively call fake news literally every single day through almost every single media outlet. And what's interesting is that when you do get a somewhat objective piece, let's say from the Washington Post, it stands out in such a way that it's like praiseworthy. You're like, wow, that was a really good piece. You know, they published something after the Parkland shooting by a Harvard professor who basically said that it was statistically almost insignificant. It was like 1 in 2 or 162,000 was the chances of a student being involved in a shooting like Parkland.
That's the era we're in now. Oh, that was fair. Yay!
Exactly. You literally have to jump up and praise journalists for being objective. But when we come back after this break, I want to talk about this thing that Rob brought up, which we didn't even talk about this before, this whole idea of needing to blame something, some object or some organization or some person, as opposed to digging down and really figuring out, for instance, what causes somebody to be so nihilistic and so depraved as to want to kill as many human beings as they possibly can. When we come back, Carl Brizzi Live.
We could put a tail on him, turns out.
So lots of loose ass going around the block.
What about the negotiator?
He's over at my place playing pinochle with a couple of my men. He's happy. They're letting him win.
It's too much of a risk for Mike. Maybe we ought to call it off, Sonny.
Negotiator keeps on playing cards until Mike comes back safe and sound.
So why doesn't he just blast who's ever in the goddamn car? It's
too dangerous. They'll be looking for that.
So Lotso might not even be in the car, Sonny.
All right, Carl Brizzi Live. Carl Brizzi back. So there is this propensity, as Rob brought up in the first segment, in our society, and it's getting worse, I think. I'm not really sure why it's getting worse, but it seems like it's getting worse, at least anecdotally, where we want to blame what is going on in our society on things, on people. And I think sometimes we see the symptoms as the actual disease, right? We see things like intolerance. We see people calling for restrictions on the First Amendment, restrictions on the Second Amendment. People who are completely intolerant. They are ideologically possessed, and they are intolerant in terms of listening to what other people's positions are. And we see this as the actual disease. And I think it's more of a symptom of a bigger problem. And so I've been thinking a lot about this, especially because of Parkland. And I thought, well, you know, people blame things like cultural illiteracy, you know, but that means something different to everyone in terms of what's culturally significant at a time. And then people say, well, it's the schools. They're not teaching kids how to think, and it's the teacher's fault. Well, maybe there are some lazy, unethical teachers, but I'm positive that there are some great teachers out there. And what teachers are teaching is what's mandated by the state, because kids have to pass these standardized tests that are, top down, right? I mean, these are the things they have to learn, and we're teaching them. I mean, some of our kids are very, very smart, and they're going to go to good schools because they've learned exactly what information they need to synthesize in order to spit back up and take these tests and take standardized tests and do good and get into, you know, Ivy League colleges or other kinds of colleges and that sort of thing. And so we're doing a good job in this narrow framework, but I think that we are not teaching critical thinking. And I think as part of this whole idea about not teaching critical thinking, we have this knee-jerk reaction, which is what Rob was saying earlier, about wanting to immediately blame something. We have to blame something. We have to blame Facebook. Well, it's Facebook's fault because they're not monitoring what people are posting. Well, it's the NRA's fault because they're promoting, you know, in this, according to some of the Parkland protesters, you know, if you take money from the NRA, then you're contributing to mass murder, which is, you know, completely ridiculous. They're an advocacy organization like any other advocacy organization.
How much do you think of those Parkland kids, and you've talked about this on your show before, how much of it do you think is they're generally, to this day, they are genuinely uninformed on what the NRA does and what they are?
No, I think they're generally uninformed about the NRA. I think they are generally uninformed about guns. I watched some of the exit interviewing by different news organizations and actually some amateur journalists who were going out and interviewing some of the protesters, and they had no idea what anyone meant by common sense, in quotations, you know, gun control legislation. Several of them didn't know what, you know, the difference between a semi-automatic handgun and a fully automatic rifle, you know, was. You don't hear anyone talking about, you know, the fact that this shooter at YouTube, this woman whose name I won't mention because I don't think that's a good idea, but, you know, she had a pistol.
Yeah.
She had a semi-automatic pistol.
Yeah, and is that because of the culture we live in? Like, let's say 1990, Columbine was 99, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, 99. I didn't see any of those kids go out and become, you know, weekend warriors over gun control. I mean, maybe I missed it. But is part of this now that a David Hogg can become an instant celebrity? And yes, it appears, based on some of these conflicting accounts and reports that are out now, that was on his mind from the beginning.
Yes, that really is actually one of the most disturbing things about this, is that while this is going on, he is actually manufacturing a way to become the leader of this so-called, you know, student movement, which is highly Machiavellian and disturbing for a 17 or 18 year old to be thinking about that.
The businessman politician, and he goes, "Ah, that's pretty creative, right?"
Yeah, I might want to hire him.
Yeah, but I mean,
watch my back, though.
But from a sheer just human aspect, I mean, literally within seconds of this happening, he's manufactured this. That's sick.
It's something. It's something. So we have this idea that we want to blame these things, as opposed to trying to understand what it is about the depravity of the human condition. And when I say depravity, I mean the ability. Look, human beings have the ability, they have the potential to do amazing things. The converse of that, and the reason why that is such, is because we have the capacity to do real evil as well, right? You have to have those two things. It's like light and dark. And I've been reading the journal of, it's Eric Harris, right? The Columbine shooter. I just want to make sure get his name right. This Harris kid, and his journal is, it is some of the most terrifying stuff that you've ever read in your life. And so if you want to figure out how someone, what someone is thinking, how they got to the place where they literally hate their very existence, they hate the world, their nihilism has overwhelmed them, and they then turn to these destructive tendencies where they want to eradicate as many human beings as possible, read these journals. You don't blame a gun. Put the blame where the blame ought to be, which is, if you look at, let me just read this real quick. This is just one little section of his journal. The human race sucks. Human nature is smothered out by society, jobs, work, and school. Instincts are deleted by laws. I see people say things that contradict themselves, or people that don't take any advantage to the gift of human life. They waste their minds on memorizing the stats of every college basketball player, or how many words should be in a report when they should be using their brain on more important things. The human race isn't worth fighting for anymore. WW2 was the last war worth fighting for, and that was the last time human life and human brains did any good that made us proud. And by the way, he's sympathizing with the Nazis when he's talking about this. He was a student of Hitler. He was obsessed with the swastika, and he thought that Nazis and Hitler had it right. So are you going to tell me, Rob, that you're going to be able to keep someone like that from killing a bunch of people because you outlaw a tool?
Yeah, and you've heard this, and not to turn into like Rick Santorum here, but it does start at home, right? I mean, you got a good idea of what your kids are doing. Now, your house is like a Brady Bunch house.
Right.
You got how many, like 37 kids?
Six.
Yeah, but you probably have a fairly good idea, not the grown ones now, but you probably got a fairly good idea about what your kids are or were doing when they're under your roof. And if they were exhibiting some of that disturbing behavior, you might step in.
Well, right. And plus, look, you've got another interesting point that you brought up that we hadn't talked about. Yesterday, I don't know if you saw this post or not, I posted on Facebook about there's this new trend now where you don't want your kids to do chores. And you don't want to discipline them because it's called adultism, which is basically the systematic discrimination against children by adults by telling them right and wrong and by disciplining them. Right. So what some of these new progressive modern parents are doing is they're creating these little, emperor gods.
Right.
Right. Who then grow up to say things like this. If you recall your history, the Nazis came up with the final solution to the Jewish problem. Kill them all. Well, in case you haven't figured it out yet, I say kill mankind. No one should survive. We all live in lies. That is crazy, desperate, wicked stuff. And if you think that by banning a tool like a gun, that's going to keep that kid from killing a bunch of people, we are deluding ourselves. Carl Brzee live. Be right back.
Well, is it reliable? That's my man in McCluskey's precinct. Police captain's got to be on call 24 hours a day. He signed out at that number between 8 and 10. Anybody know this joint?
Yeah, sure, I do. It's perfect for us. A small family place, good food, everyone minds his business. It's perfect. Pete, they got an old-fashioned toilet. You know, the box and the chain thing. We might be able to tape the gun behind it.
As I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I take a look at my life.
And welcome back to Carl Brzee Live. Talking about what motivates people to, commit a horrific act like the shooting at Parkland and others. And rather than try to guess, we should just go to the source. And so in thinking about these things and crafting these positions with regard to what people are calling common sense, gun control legislation and mental health and all this other stuff, because we want to tangibly grab on to something to blame as Rob Kendall said in the first segment, it's scapegoating. It's scapegoating. You know, the Parkland kids blame the NRA. The NRA and Trump blame violent video games. You know, we blame, existential crisis over global warming. You know, we blame opioids, right? Because this is the cause. No, these are all symptoms of a much bigger problem, which transgresses all of these other things that we look at as causes when they're really symptoms. Because, you know, somebody who's going to try to kill as many people as they can before basically they turn the gun on themselves or they get caught, they say things like this. And again, this is from one of the Columbine shooters. As part of the human race and having the great pleasure of being blessed with a brain, I can think humans can do whatever they want. There are no laws of nature that prevent humans from making choices, maybe from actually doing some of those choices, but not from making the choice. If a man chooses to speed while driving home one day, then it's his fault, no matter what happens. If he crashes into a school bus full of kiddies and they all burn to death, it's his fault. And it's only a tragedy, Rob, according to this person, if you think it is. And then it's only a tragedy in your own mind. So you shouldn't expect others to think that way also. It could also be a miracle for another person. Maybe the bus stopped the car from plowing into a little old lady walking on the sidewalk. I think I will choose to kill and damage as much as nature allows me to take. So take that, fuck you, and eat napalm. Only nature can stop me. I know I could get shot by a cop after only killing a single person, but hey, guess the fuck what? I chose to kill that one person, so get over it. It's my fault. Not my parents, not my brothers, not my friends, not my favorite bands, not computer games, not the media. It's mine. Go shut the fuck up.
He's a real Hemingway, isn't he?
Is that chilling? I mean, that just gave me like a chill. That's the mind of a mass murderer before actually going out and killing as many people as you possibly could.
Hey, I want to ask you this, and this is totally.
Oh,
off
you want to take it down a notch? Is that what you're doing?
Yeah. I mean,
you want to get serious for a second?
Because how are you going to reason with that, right?
That's the point. You're going to prevent that from not getting a school bus full of napalm and driving it into a school.
Well, isn't that interesting though that he justifies it by saying, "Well, who's to say that that bus didn't prevent one little old lady from dying?
Who's to say that the kids he killed, one of them didn't grow up to be a serial killer and kill even more people?"
I mean, you can justify anything.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you, because the Masters is this week, are you a golfer person?
Oh, no, God, no.
No. It's all Tiger Woods this week.
Okay. Tiger's back.
Tiger's back. And I'm not in any way equating Tiger Woods with the Columbine kids, so please don't think that. But I'm wondering, you know, we idolized Tiger Woods. You know,
Didn't go crazy.
No.
Went Tiger.
But nothing. It reminded me how nothing's real, right? I mean, you think about, like, this is the 20th anniversary of the home run chase for Roger Maris's record. You know, Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa. Those guys were cheaters. I mean, that wasn't real. Lance Armstrong, it wasn't real. Tiger Woods, while his accomplishments were real, the persona wasn't real.
What do you mean by that?
Nothing is as it seems. We idolize these people. Lance Armstrong was a cheater. Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire were a cheater. Tiger Woods had this persona of he's the greatest human that ever lived. He was a piece of crap. He was a great golfer, but he was a total piece of crap.
Why do you say that?
He cheated on his wife with like 30 people. And I mean, my God, look at the...
Well, I'm not condoning that, right, by any stretch of the imagination, but I certainly wouldn't call him a piece of crap for having affairs. I mean, even multiple affairs, right? I mean, he's a great golfer.
No. He's not cheating at golf. We're way past multiple affairs.
So the numbers matter?
Like if you're,
one
if,
is okay.
If you're hooking up with the chick that's the waitress at the Perkins... You know, if you're hooking up with the porn star, you know, and his wife, what a great woman, right? I mean, by all accounts.
I don't know anything about her.
Man, I mean, she was the nanny of a fellow golfer, and he married her. What I'm saying is we put all these people that they're these tremendous human beings and none of it's real. Is that part of it, that we create a society by which nothing's really real?
Well, nothing really is real, right? I mean, not to get all like, who's the actor that I just saw? Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard Jim Carrey talk?
No.
he's nuts. He's like, I mean, actually more nuts than the characters that he plays.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, we're not really here. We don't exist. So I don't know. He talks like that. I was watching a little bit of that over the weekend. But it is that part of reality is a bit of a social construct, right? Where we're constantly redefining you know, sort of the terms of our existence. And I think that there is something to be said for modern celebrities. I don't want to put that in quotes too, right? Because,
right.
I mean, the Kardashians are famous. I mean, like, that makes me crazy.
You hate the Kardashians.
I don't hate anyone. Not Rob. That's just way too much emotion for me to muster. My kids.
Is that because you're an attorney?
It.
Because you've dealt with the worst of humankind. So literally nothing can offend you at this point.
I find their fame offensive. I don't know if that makes sense.
Well, and isn't that sort of the era we're in where people are now famous just for being famous?
You know, let me give you an example. So to do a 2-hour radio show, I'm going to be doing a 2-hour radio show tomorrow, filling in for the gun guy.
93 WIBC.
Thank you.
Five to seven.
And that, in order for me to come on and even just do this podcast and say something that, I don't know, almost 1,000 people listen to now every week, I really want to spend time thinking about what I actually believe and crafting my words in such a way that they're the most effective, right? Because words are super important. And I mean, people aren't going to listen. I'm not famous, so people aren't going to listen unless I have something to offer.
Right.
And so the point is that, you know, the celebrity and fame and being listened to and being a role model, hopefully maybe influencing change, that takes real thought. And you got to be comfortable with yourself. You've got to do some real critical analysis with yourself before you dare even start talking to other people about what you think, which is what makes me crazy about the Parkland thing.
Yeah, it comes down to what's the take, right?
Right.
Because it used to be once upon a time, the media business, in air quotes, was, hey, this guy is well-informed. He's got measured responses. He provides valuable information. I'll listen to him. Now it's all about the take.
Right.
Your take could be wrong. It could be crazy. But if you're entertaining giving it, if you incite people to emotion, you're in the business,
which is what I am desperately trying to avoid, because that is what everyone is doing, right? It's constant pandering. It's even more polarization, and it's creating these echo chambers of ideas where you're just talking to people who are like, Rob, go Rob, little avatars, right? Go
yeah.
Rob, go Rob.
Right. And you see that a lot in this business now, where you try to out extreme the next person.
Well, isn't that what's going on in the Senate race right now?
Sure.
The Republican Senate race?
Sure.
Everyone's trying to out extreme each other.
Sure. And it's great for my business, because the bigger clown you act like, the more I can talk about you. So in a strange way, it's like Trump and the media, right? Trump says he hates the media, but he needs them and they need him. He's what? Great for ratings.
He's completely jujitsu'd the media, hasn't he? I mean, that is one thing. That is one thing that I absolutely do admire about this presidency, is that he has got them just doing all sorts of
but they need each other.
Absolutely. It's symbiotic and parasitic, which is kind of gross if you think about it. Brought some biology terms there, boy. Art, Carl Berzy Live, appreciate you tuning in. We'll have something up on the blog, hopefully by the tomorrow afternoon. We'll be right back.
You go to a restaurant, you eat, you talk for a while, you relax. You make them relax. Then you get up and you go take a leak. Or better still, you ask for permission to go. And when you come back, you come out blasting. And don't take any chances. 2 shots in the head apiece.
Now listen, I want somebody good, and I mean very good, to plant that gun. I don't want my brother coming out of that toilet with just his dick in his hands, all right?
The gun will be there.
Hey, thanks for listening. Follow me on Facebook, Carl Berzy Live, and on Twitter, at Carl Berzy. Look forward to talking to you again next week.
I'm all about the hustle. I'm all about the grind. Every day I'm trying to get it. Take it one step at a time.